but he knows you, and he will get you back to the flock. Your job is to trust. Your job is to believe. That's the only work that God has given you, is to believe. Now, if you believe in something, you'll do it.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is God Keeps Us, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today is God Keeps Us. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, God keeps us. Oh, come on, guys, like you mean it. Come on, God keeps us. God keeps us. All right, let's please stand one last time for the holy word of God, okay? Our key verse is going to be in Isaiah 41:10. I'm reading out of the ESV. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Heavenly Father, we ask you, O God, to prepare our hearts to receive. I pray, O Lord, that you will anoint me to teach your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. God keeps us. How many of you heard the lie that God only helps those who help themselves? That is not even in the Bible. The Bible doesn't even teach that. God helps those who trust in him. God keeps those who admit to him that they cannot do it on their own. God keeps those who come to him in humility, minus the pride, and says to him, "Oh Lord, I cannot do it. You do it for me. I have no more strength. You be my strength. I have no one to help me. You be my help. I cannot even stand anymore. You uphold me with your righteous right hand." Who is the righteous right hand of God? Who sits at the right hand of God? Jesus. And he will uphold you with Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the strength of God. You don't have the help of God. You cannot stand with God if you do not have the righteous hand of God holding you, keeping you. That's what God does through Jesus Christ. God promises believers that he will be with us to keep us safe no matter what. Everybody say, no matter what, I'm safe in God. He cares for his children more than any of us can imagine. That's why doubt should never get into your minds that God has forgotten about you. He's constantly thinking about each and every one of us. He knows what's going to bother you before you're even bothered by it. He's got his eye on you. Even in death, God keeps us. Listen to Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now listen to me. To God, death is just a shadow. Because a shadow cannot hurt you. But a shadow does cast darkness, doesn't it? And darkness does bring in fear, doesn't it? But God is with us. And this scripture can be used for both directions. Listen to me. For those who are passing on, we know that God is with them. And for those of us who are left behind, who have lost a loved one, that can be scary too, can't it? But God is with us as well. Amen? Amen. God keeps us. With many Bible promises, we often see a condition that we must meet. The same is true for this one. Listen, we need faith to collect on the promises of God. Without faith, you cannot please God. You hear what I'm saying? First, we must not fear. Listen to the conditions of this scripture. Fear not, for I am with you. In this verse, God says he is with us. That alone should be our courage. You don't look at your resources. You don't look how much money you got in the bank. You don't look at how smart you are. You don't look at how many friends you have. You look at who's with you. God, fear not. I'm with you. Man, if God tells you he's with you, why are you so afraid? Who else do you want with you? Your brothers and your sisters and your mommies and your daddies and your friends can't help you through some stuff. Only God can get you out of some of the stuff that some of us are in today. Praise the Lord. Fear not, for I am with you. Second, we must not be dismayed or stressed about it. Listen to this. Stress leads to panic and ungodly behavior. When you start thinking about your condition, you start flopping all over the place. Oh, I don't know what I should do. Oh, I better ask my friend over here what I should do. Oh, I better call somebody over here. Oh, hello, I need help, help. That's stressing out. That's being dismayed. What you want to do is you want to call on the Lord. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Don't make something else your God. When you're stressing out, don't make money your God. Don't make your friends your God. Don't make anything your God but him. You understand the scripture? Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Don't make other things your God when you're stressing out. It doesn't work out for you when you do that. That's bad, bad, bad practice. Third, lay it all on him, because he promises in this scripture, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lay it on him. Give it to him. Just turn it over to him. You've done everything you can do. You've said everything that can be said. You felt every feeling you can feel. Now you have to give it to God. You should have done that days ago. You should have done that months ago. You should have done that years ago, but you're still holding on to it. You don't want his help because you don't trust in his help. You got to stop doing that today. Today is the day that you turn it over to God. Today is the day that you say, Lord, you will be my help. You will be my strength. Amen. I said, amen. First, God keeps us because he created us. God created us. That is why he keeps us. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Listen, God formed you in the womb. God made Adam out of the dirt. He created everything out of nothing. Forget about that evolutional lie. That stuff is the lie of the devil. I didn't come from a monkey. I came from an all-loving, beautiful God. Okay? I was created by the Creator, not evolved from a rock. People are no accident. We were created for fellowship with God by God. Now, if he created you, he's going to keep you. How many of you make something just to tear it down? Not very many of us do, right? Amen? Not many of us do that. God created us to be with him. Listen, believe it or not, the all-powerful, the all-loving God wants to be with you. He made you for that reason. So why are we all running so fast away from him? Why is it that we won't come to him? Acts 17 says, verses 26 and 27, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God. See, we should be seeking God, looking for God, searching for God. But make no mistake, he's the one that finds you. And the reason why we're seeking him is because that means we're listening for him. Amen? And perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. The fact that you're here in church today tells me and should be telling you that God is calling your name. God is looking your direction. He's wanting to fellowship with you. He's wanting time with you. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying here? Second, God keeps us because he knows us. How many of you know that God knows you? I know you try to hide some stuff from him. I know there's some things that you do that you pretend he can't see, okay? And there's some quirks in us that we try to keep from God, but he knows us inside and out. Romans 8, verses 29 and 30 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." God already knew you before creation, and he had a plan for you. He had a plan to conform you to the likeness of his son, Jesus. Does that mean that you're going to be a robot? No. It means that you're going to have the fruits of the Spirit like his son has. That's what God's working out in you. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God's got your name on his heart, and he's calling your name to be with you so he can keep you. But if you don't pick up your word, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't practice your Bible, if you don't pray to your God, if you don't fellowship at your church, God's going to have a harder time keeping you because you got free will. And you can blame it all on God if you want to, but the thing is, you made your choice. The thing is, you're still making your choice. What are you going to do with what God has given you? Are you going to meet the conditions? Or are you just going to keep running? Are you going to keep running? Or are you going to pick up your Bible and you're going to start reading it? And you're going to start asking God to reveal some things in it to you? Are you going to start praying to him that he may change you more like his son? Or are you going to keep praying for the same things that he's not going to give you? Until you have been changed by him. Understand that God is more concerned with your position with him than your condition. You understand what I'm saying? You got to start praying that you are there with him, that you are positioned next to the Son, that you're following him. And then God will work on the conditioning of your life. Praise God. There is not a single thing about you or your life that God does not know about. Yep, even that too. I heard some of those thoughts out there. Pretty scary, isn't it? God knows everything you're thinking before you even thought it. God knows everything that's going on in your life. And isn't it funny when a problem pops up out of nowhere, everybody runs to the telephone instead of running to God's throne, right? You're calling up your friends. Some of us do that, don't we? God is never taken by surprise about what's going on. He knows you too well to be surprised by you. He knows you too well. He knows what's going on. He's got it all planned out for you. And if you would trust a little bit more, you would know that he's keeping you, even in the dark times, even in the bad times. He's there. Listen, we're not tested when the things are going good in life. Anybody can do good when things are doing good in their life. We're tested when the bad comes. Look, you take a pot of water and you put it on the stove and you turn up the heat, the impurities will start boiling up. Same thing with us. Same thing with us. Run into somebody who's having a bad day. You may not even recognize them if they're not in the Lord. They may snap at you. Be hard to get along with because impurities are boiling out of them. But for those who God is keeping in perfect peace, you would never know something was going on in their life because he's keeping them because they're trusting in him. That's when you're tested, when the heat is on, not when things are going good. Anybody can pass that test, right? Praise the Lord. Luke 12 verse 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. Listen, God knows how many hairs are on your head. Thank God there's no bald people in here today. That'd be an easy count, wouldn't it? Praise God. He knows everything about you. Birds don't even die without God in control of it. He is the giver and the taker of all life. Demons can't even do that. The devil can't even take your life. God is the judge of who lives and who dies. It's all in his hands, even the birds. Even the birds, he's got to will it. So that means he's in control of everything in your life. And if it happens and you're trusting in him, you got to believe that he's working out something good. You may not see it now. You may not even believe it now. But know it, because the Bible tells us that he keeps us even in death. John 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. This is Christ speaking. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knows his sheep. He knows you guys. And when he calls, you will know his voice. Because you know him. Believers know who the shepherd is. Amen? Believers know. And when he calls you, he's going to tell you something that lines up with the word of God. That's how you know it's his voice. Because you've been reading the word of God. Somebody cannot lie to a sheep who's been reading his word. Because he knows that's not the voice of his shepherd. Too many times there's Christians who are not kept by God because they're not reading their word. And a wolf comes along and teaches them something, such as I opened up with, God only helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. It's not taught in the Bible. But wolves come along and they'll teach you things and try to lure you away from the shepherd. But he knows you, and he will get you back to the flock. Your job is to trust. Your job is to believe. That's the only work that God has given you, is to believe. Now, if you believe in something, you'll do it. You'll pick up your Bible. If you believe that God's word is true, you'll read it. If you believe that God is real, you'll pray to him. If you believe that God tells you to be in church, and he does, you'll come to church. Praise God. If you believe in the gospel, you'll tell people about it. If you believe in Jesus, you won't be ashamed of him. And God will keep you. Third, God keeps us because he loves us. Look at your neighbor and tell them God loves you. God loves you. Not because you deserve it. Not because I deserve it. Not because you earned it. Not because I earned it. Not because you're here in church. And not because I'm a pastor. But because of his unconditional grace towards you through Jesus Christ. Unconditional, because there is no sin that you could ever do that God could not forgive through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 3, 16 and 17. For God, not you, not me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God's not looking down, pointing out your flaws. God's looking down, calling you to his Son. God wants you to come and join him and be with him. He's not trying to condemn anybody. He's trying to save everyone. But sadly, not everybody is listening. Sadly, not everybody is kept by God. Sadly, people come to church and they still miss the message that Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of sins and not their good deeds, not their popularity, not their money, not their possessions, but Jesus Christ. The poorest among us are saved through Jesus if they respond to the call. Do you understand that God gave everything that he had so that he may be with us? So that he may be with us. It's not because we loved him first that he loves us. So if there's anybody out there thinking that they got a monopoly on Christianity, shame on you. Because that doesn't impress God either. 1 John 4:10, in this is love. Now, this is the real love, okay? Not yours and not mine. This is real love. Not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the real definition right there. God loved us. I wasn't looking for God when he found me. People say, well, you know what? I found God. That's nonsense. Nobody's even looking for God. Okay? Nobody's even looking for God. God's looking for us. That's why he's the shepherd. As a sheep, we're just going about our business. Right? Getting into trouble everywhere we can. Until the shepherd comes along and his rod and his staff starts to comfort us. And David said both of those things comfort him. He knew that when he stepped out of line, he needed the rod. He knew it. He knew it. And it was a comfort to him that God would spank him when he got off the track. Amen? Because when a sheep starts to walk away, the Lord swats him a little bit and he gets right back in the line. But when the wolf comes, then his staff is also a weapon to beat the wolves down. And his staff is also a guide to us. That's why he compares himself to a shepherd. Because we're dumb as sheep, ain't we? People are like that, aren't we? They call us sheeple, don't they? It is not our love that moves God to keep us, but rather his love. See, God's not impressed by how much you know the Bible. That's a good thing for you. What's he impressed by is that you know him. I tell you what, guys, if we're honest with each other, there's some days you don't even want to get up and pray. There's some days that we don't even want to get up and go to church. Isn't there? Come on, let's be honest. There's some days we don't even want to pick up our Bible. We got better things to do. We just want to be lazy, sit in front of the TV, go out with some friends, whatever the case may be. But thanks be to God that he's not like that. 24 hours a day, he's looking for a way to bless us. It is not our love that moves God to keep us. It's not our love. Does not impress him. You could never love God the way he loves you. Ever. If you were to live 100 billion lifetimes, why do you think we're going to be with him for eternity? Because we're never going to catch up with his love. We're never going to soak it all in. It's going to take eternity to get it all. And eternity is a long time, right? Praise God. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The whole world was in sin. The whole world still is in sin. And Jesus still died for us. We didn't do anything. We didn't make that happen. We didn't even pray for it to happen. It just happened because God predestined it before creation. He sought us out. He knew we were going to fall before he created us. And he had a backup plan, didn't he? His son, Jesus Christ, took the punishment for us. How many of us in here today understand what a great gift that is? How many of you would die for a sinner? Not me. I don't have it in me. I don't have that kind of love. Sorry. You're on your own. Wouldn't do no good if I did anyways, would it? I can't save you. I'm not pure. I'm not just. Only Christ could do that. So in conclusion, God is calling us to himself. It is up to us to answer his call. And when we do, he will keep us. How do we answer God's call? Does anybody know how we answer God's call? He calls in many different ways. That's right, accepting the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Coming to church when you're invited. Coming to church when you see an advertisement for one. Picking up your Bible when you see it collecting dust. Rubbing your head in church. Praise God. Answering the call is more than just being religious. Anybody can be religious. Anybody can pick up a book and start reading out of it and teaching people from it. Anybody can do that. But how many people can actually answer the call when God says, I want you to make a sacrifice for someone who's hurting today? I want you to forget about your problems today. I want you to give something that you don't want to give. See, it's easy to give the stuff that we want to give. It's easy to do the things that we find fun to do. But what about true ministry? What about standing up and giving something when you have nothing else to give? And you got to ask God to bring it through you so that you can have someone else receive it. Because you don't have anything else left. Because God has broken you. God has brought you down to the very depths of your soul. And that's where you meet God. You meet him in the valleys, not on the mountaintops. Okay, that's not where you find God. You find him in the valley. You find him in the hurt. You find him in the pain. And that's when you cry out to him and you say, God, I have nothing else. And God says, good, because in your weakness, you will find my strength. When I am weak, I am strong, Paul said, because he had nothing else to give of himself. Because we have nothing that we can give to God. We have to give up everything so that we may receive from him, so that we can give to others. Because what I have to give to you isn't good enough. I got to give from God. Are you ready to answer the call of God, the true call of God? Yes, you're a Christian. But what about the commission of the Christian? What about going out and bringing somebody else into church and bringing them to Christ? What about bringing the gospel to those who aren't coming to church? Why do you think God has you here today? Is it all about your well-being? Of course he wants to keep you. Of course he wants to love you. But he wants to also have you serve with him, to reach other people, to give of yourself, to forsake your life, to deny yourself and pick up your cross and go out there and start ministering to people, start caring for people, and stop worrying about your own life so much. If you need something, God will bring it to you. He will bring it to you. But if you seek your own life, you're going to lose it. You can hold on to your own life, and the tighter you squeeze, it's just like Jell-O. It'll get right through your fingers. God will bring to you whatever you need. Because this stuff is all temporal. You can't take none of this with you. It's all going to come to an end. And you won't have it. It'll be gone. And how will you answer God that day when you stand in front of him and make an account of the time that he gave you? How many people are you going to know in heaven that you helped get there by witnessing? Or are you going to be the only one and nobody knows you? Where's all my friends? And then the Lord says to you, you didn't answer the call. You didn't witness to any of your friends. You didn't minister to anybody. That's why nobody up here knows you. Heaven might be awful lonely for some people.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.